Want to know what strategies real graduates use to launch their career? Well, here's your chance. From personal stories to insider tips, our interviews with graduates and campus recruiters will equip you with the knowledge and inspiration you need to take off and stand out from the crowd. Brought to you by Prospel, your one-stop shop for finding and securing your dream internship or fresh graduate job.
Can you tell us about your background story, like what brought you to Australia and what you've been up to here?
Thank you so much for having me, Frances. My name is Divya. I am originally from India. I have been in Australia for almost 4 years. It's going to be 4 years in February next year. And I came as an international student and I have been studying. So I did Diploma of Nursing and then now I'm in my final year of Bachelor's of Nursing. So yeah, international student experience, that journey is what brought me to Melbourne and that's where I'm based. And currently I am in my final year, like I mentioned, and in my final rotation, the clinical placements that we have to do. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. And next year I'll be starting my full-time job.
Awesome. And can you briefly tell us what you do as a nurse, what you do every day, typical day, that kind of stuff?
Oh, typical day. Fun fact, my actual job is as an enrolled nurse in emergency department. So, you know, 2 days are similar, but typically in ED, we have different kind of presentations and we work as a team with the doctor to treat them and nurse them back to health. I started my journey during COVID, so this is a much better now because I came in 2020 and 3 weeks into my journey, we went into lockdown in Australia. So my first job was doing COVID testing and COVID screening. So that was interesting. That was full blown, wearing your PPE and all of that. It's still there, obviously. We haven't gotten rid of COVID completely, but now I have more clinical responsibilities and things. But yeah, I know a lot of people don't know this, but there are two different kinds of nurses in Australia. There are enrolled nurses and registered nurses. You do a diploma of nursing to become an enrolled nurse, and then you can further study, keep on continuing to study, and you can become a registered nurse. So that's why I am a nurse. And I'm also studying to become a nurse.
Got it. And I also saw on your LinkedIn, I saw the term like endorsed enrolled nurse. Can I ask what that is?
Yes, of course. A lot of years ago, enrolled nurses were not allowed to give medications. So it wasn't in their scope to administer medications. It has only been few years ago that it has become a part of the education. So that's why they say endorsed enrolled nurse, is that I'm endorsed to administer medications as well.
So you can administer medications, as in you can give them like shots with medication? Or
I can give them oral, I can give them through the veins, I can give vaccines, I can do everything. Yeah, I can give bloods and things as well, administration of bloods and things. In medical field, you really need to get signed off for things that you're competent. Even as a full competent nurse next year, who's qualified, has a degree, has a license, there will be things that I will still need to do competencies for me to be like, okay, she can do it now. So it never ends. The cycle never ends. You still have things you need to get ticked off. Yeah.
Interesting. For some reason, I thought nurses were always administering medication. Was that not really the case?
No, ages ago, enrolled nurses were only looked as people who actually just look after the patients, looking after their personal caring, hygiene and things, and helping them with their daily activities. And registered nurses were the only ones who could give medications, but they incorporated that. So a lot of times people do question, what is the actual difference between an EN and an RN? So I'm like, I couldn't help you, because honestly, I do most of the things that an RN can do as well. But it's that RN education is much more in depth, and it is much more about nursing diagnosis and really understanding the patient treatment, so that we are not just doing what we are told to, we are also using our critical thinking to ensure that whatever the treatment plan that has been put in place for the patient, because nurses are the one who spend 24/7 with the patient, while the other healthcare team members only see them for a couple of hours, maybe, or a few minutes. So you really need to understand the patient treatment plan to its core to ensure that it's actually working. This is actually, sometimes they would put something for the patient, but we as nurses would realize, you know what, this might be not the best pathway for the patient. So that's where that further education really helps you develop that critical thinking.
And how many years of further education are we talking about?
So my diploma was 2 years, and those 2 years were credited into for 1 year of my bachelor's of nursing. So 2 years of diploma and then 2 years of bachelor's, so 4 years in total. If you don't want to choose this pathway, people can directly go to bachelor's, and that's 3 years of bachelor's in Australia. So if you're doing the diploma plus bachelor's, it's 4 years. If you're just doing diploma, it's 2 years. If you're just doing bachelor's, it's 3 years. Yeah.
Okay, and could you briefly explain the difference between the diploma and the bachelor's?
So this is how my experience has been. When I studied diploma, we touched the outside surface of nursing enough to understand and care for a patient. But in bachelor's, you actually go deep into it. It's like thinking about a cell. You're learning what cell has, and okay, cell, this is what a nucleus is, blah, 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 I'm done. But in bachelor's, you're going deep into its core to understand the patient care and an education. So that's how I like to put it, yeah.
Well, what's the coolest thing you've done so far as a nurse?
Oh, so one time, I don't know how in description I can go here, but I was working in ED, and this is when I was working as a student in the emergency department. So prior to working as an EN, I was a student in the ED. And we had someone come in who was working in a construction site, and the saw, the electric saw that went through their foot, it hit their artery. You know how there's a lot of blood pressure in the artery. So I was unwrapping it, and the nurse next to me, she's like, I feel like it might have hit the artery. Let me prepare some gauze for you in case there's a blood flow as soon as I unwrap it. And she was correct. As soon as I unwrapped it, you know how they show the blood flow in the movies? Like literally somebody's pumping it and it's like coming out. That was the case. And I had to hold it down, wait for the surgeon to come. And I was holding it down, putting enormous amount of pressure to make sure that patient doesn't bleed to death, and literally holding him down until he was ready for surgery. So yeah, that was pretty cool. And we do a lot of cool things, and we get to see a lot of cool things.
Wow. So you're like literally saving lives, actually.
I still don't feel that way, but a lot of people, especially the families, when they come up and they're like, thank you for looking after my dad and my mom, that brings so much joy to me. But yeah, I haven't worked at trauma sites, so I don't get that feeling. I'm actually saving lives.
So when did you decide you wanted to study nursing?
So I've always been interested in healthcare. It's one of those things as a kid when you're playing with your siblings. Doctor was the thing that I used to play a lot, and I still remember writing prescriptions, whether it was just for paracetamol, but I still my mom probably somewhere does have that prescription that I signed. So healthcare has always been my passion, and back in India I was a pre-med student, and I was studying to get into medical schools, but unfortunately I wasn't able to. But and Australia was like that one place that I really wanted to study. A, because my uncle lives here and I'm very close to him. B, I visited here a couple of times as a tourist. And I was just like taken and blown away. The environment, the culture, the vibes. And I was like, what, doesn't matter what I study, I really want to study abroad. And that has to be Australia. A few things fell into place, and I decided to start my healthcare journey through nursing, and perhaps medicine is still on the table for me to think about, and after I start working and to get into that pathway as well. But yeah, healthcare has just been my passion, and yeah, I never saw myself working or being in anywhere else rather than hospital. But yeah, so that's how I ended up studying nursing. Yeah.
And did you consider any other careers in healthcare besides like the doctor path?
So beside the doctor path, I was introduced to nurse practitioners who are, again, you do your postgrad after undergraduate, you do your postgrad, and then you gain experience, and then you can do a course that is for nurse practitioners. And they are nurses who can work independently. They can also prescribe medications and tests and things. But yeah, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing to develop that clinical skill and experience that you can actually independently look after patients. And that was really interested. And I was like, oh my God, that's something I can actually consider working towards.
So are you planning on becoming a nurse practitioner then?
I at the moment, my graduate year is what that I'll be working next year in two different clinical settings. So I really want to focus and see what kind of nursing I actually want to pursue for the longer term, and maybe go from there, kind of thing.
Okay, so you mentioned what kind of nurse you want to become. What kinds of nurses can one become?
Oh, so many, so many. So first of all, there's hospital-based nursing, and that I don't even know if I'm completing the whole list, but I'll tell you as much as I know is some are hospital-based nurses, which are work in hospital, but then within hospital, there are different kinds. There are ward nurses who work in different kind of wards. In that, there are different specialties as well. There'll be cardiac nurses, pediatric nurses, your general medical nurses, surgical nurses. And then if you are going into specialty, there are like ICU nurses, then there are emergency nurses who work in theaters, scrub scout, anesthetic nurses. And then you have your nurse educators who look after the nursing students like myself. There are nurses, immunization nurses who work in pathologies. Then you have there's something called hospital in the home, which is where nurses go to patients' home and give care to them. Hospital in the home nurses, outpatient nurses, and then there are community nurses who work outside of hospitals for people in remote areas maybe who don't have hospital in their nearby area. There are community nurses, school nurses, there are forensic nurses, psychiatric nurses. So honestly, so many. You can just go anywhere your heart desires.
Wow, that was a super long list of options.
I know. And I don't think I covered them all.
Wow. And are you set on being an emergency nurse, or are the other options still on the table?
Yes. At the moment, yes. I think that's where my interest is. I really enjoy the fast-paced setting and the different kind of presentations that you get. So you really have to be awake, and you really need to make sure that you have your cup of coffee before entering the hospital.
So I noticed you've been employed at two places or two medical settings in Australia. When you were looking for these employers, how did you find them?
So at the start, it was quite difficult for me to find a job, given that the whole of the country was in the lockdown. And the international students, the usual jobs that we can do in like hospitality or in those your usual settings, they were all closed. But then I was like, you know what? I'm in the field which is the most in demand. Surely I can be of help as well, even though I'm not qualified yet. I've just started, but surely I can be of help. So I started applying for these places called nursing agencies, which are independent organizations that hire nurses, and you can pick up different hospital settings or different healthcare settings to go work at. So I started my role as a personal care assistant, which is PCA, or you can also call patient services assistant, PSAs and PCAs. So they're basically like nursing assistants. So you can work in different healthcare settings, and you don't have that much clinical responsibilities, but you can help in overall patient care. So I started working I signed up with this agency, and it was really good and flexible. I could choose wherever I wanted to work. And if I'm like free today and I'm like, oh, you know what, there's work available, I can just pick up a shift. So that was really convenient in balancing my studies and my work as well. So I started off working as a PCA in aged cares. I used to go in aged cares. And then finally, when the new role of a COVID screener and a COVID tester was introduced, COVID also created new jobs. So I started working in drive-through testing sites, gowning up the whole PPE and testing people for COVID. I did a few shifts there. I also worked as a COVID screener in hospitals. In Australia, they had people sitting outside at the front of the hospital at the entrance, and you had to sign up the QR code, and we used to check their temperatures and asking them if they've been at an exposure site, because we really wanted to limit the number of exposures in the hospitals because of really sick patients. Those kind of jobs were introduced, so I was able to find a job. It took me 6 months, but I was able to find a job, and then the pathway was made for me. I got into these roles. Then I started coming to the emergency department that I work right now. I started to coming as an agency PCA, and I used to do COVID testings. And then they were like, you know what, you've been working here for almost 6 months, might as well we hire you. So they hired me as a student. I wasn't fully qualified at that time. So they hired me as a student. And then eventually, when I was done with my qualification, they hired me as an enrolled nurse. So yeah, that's how I, starting from nursing agencies to now working in a hospital, that the pathway was clear. But my message is that you have to start somewhere. To get somewhere, you have to start somewhere. And it doesn't hurt in asking people as well, like, how did you find a job? And, you know, what did you do? Because everyone is in the same boat, whether it's COVID or not. Even people right now might be struggling to find jobs, and they might not know of different pathways, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Yeah.
That's so interesting. I had no idea about nursing agencies, and I was really surprised to learn about the flexibility, because I think nursing has this reputation for not being like very flexible. So I think it's cool that you found like a really flexible option that works with your studies and everything.
Yeah, that was really good. I work for nursing agencies. They do give that flexibility, and I think that's why a lot of nurses are choosing that side. And And it's the same way. You can choose to work in different specialties, and they'll send you to that hospital or different areas in that hospital. When you're like a part-time or a full-time nurse with one hospital, it is hard to find that flexibility, as considerate as the hospitals are trying to be. There is a real shortage of staffing in every area in healthcare. And so you do see that kind of things. Like, for example, I wanted to work, not work, just like work in a, as a morning shift or an afternoon shift, and just be done with my New Year's. I'm working New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I'm working night shifts because of that real shortage. So I'll be doing my countdowns from the hospital, but that real shortage is there. So that's why I think nurses are choosing to work with agencies to have that flexibility.
And do you think it's a good idea for new nurses to start out at staffing agencies first before they go to a hospital, maybe?
I think it really depends on the requirements of the staffing agencies as well, because they also want to make sure that if they're sending someone to a different hospital, that nurse or whoever that person is confident and competent. If I'm talking myself, I would want to gain some experience working in a certain field first and then go to that agency, because I'll be then well equipped to, not everybody knows everything, but you need to create that basic knowledge working in healthcare first. It's really great to be like a PCA or a nursing assistant with the agencies, but I think when you're a qualified nurse, I think just for the safety, it's important that we gain experience from one area, and then you can go on and work wherever you want to.
Got it. And did you experience any difficulties specifically as an international student when you were searching for employers?
It was difficult at the start with even with the nursing assistant positions. They were like, oh, do you have experience? But then I was like, but I'm new and the whole COVID is new to everyone. So how am I supposed to have experience? So that was like a difficult conversation to have at times. And I was like, no, I don't. And at times it'd be like, oh, we really are looking for someone who is experienced. And then it was also difficult because once I graduated from my diploma of nursing, to have that flexible job while I'm doing my bachelor's, that was a little bit difficult. It was convenient because during that time in Australia, they removed the restriction or working hours, the working hour cap from international students who are working in healthcare. So I could really, if I know my week is not going to be busy with uni, I could pick up more shifts without having to worry about how many hours I'm working. So they removed that cap during that time. So that was convenient. But yeah, trying to find that flexible balance was a little bit tricky. And they reintroduced the cap after a certain amount of months.
I guess it seems like employers didn't have an issue with your being an international student, like your visa status and things like that.
No, they didn't. Obviously, that was something they asked for, because they are also aware that international students have a certain amount of hours they can work. But when the government was like, they can work however much they want to during COVID, so they asked you for it, but they were like, we don't care if you're an international student. I never came across any employer saying no to me because I'm an international student. So I've been lucky in that sense, yeah. Even in my hospital, they are getting so many nurses from overseas. It's amazing. A lot of nurses from Singapore, Philippines, UK, a lot of nurses from overseas. I see so many new nurses and they're all on different kind of visas. So there's a real shortage. So I don't think anyone's going to be like, no, your visa status, I don't want you to work for me. Yeah.
And you mentioned nurses from all sorts of places. Do you think being a nurse, it's a good career if you want to live in different countries, maybe? Or do you think it's, yeah, how easy is it to move abroad as a nurse and keep working as a nurse?
I think every country has their own sort of requirements that they want. I'm not too sure like how it would be for me to qualify in Australia and then go out and work. Because everybody from all over the world is coming to work here. I'm not too sure how it works, but I do know that every country have their own requirements. So I'm sure if you want to move somewhere, you can just look into the requirements that they want. I do know that a lot of nurses within Australia do travel nursing, is that they get contracts for like regional area, and then they would go work for 8 weeks there, and then they would go work somewhere else. So that sort of really sounds some, if you're into travel and you don't want to settle into one place, this is something that you can do. Those roles do require experience, so a newly qualified person can't go and do that. But yeah, like something that I have also considered, traveling all around Australia, you can just get a contract somewhere, go work there. More than often, they also provide accommodation and things, so you can just go live, work, and then earn money and then travel. So that's a good option as well.
Oh, that sounds really fun, actually.
Yeah, it is quite fun. I see so many people on TikTok and they're sharing their experiences and traveling, and I'm like, oh my god, I want to get experience and then do that.
Yeah, makes sense. As a nurse, when you look for like work opportunities, is there like a platform or website that you guys use?
Basically going on Seek, which is used a lot in Australia. Seek is a really great platform. Funnily enough, LinkedIn sometimes helps as well, because some nursing agencies reach out to you if you have nursing experiences on your profile. I've had a couple of nursing agencies reach out to me via LinkedIn. And yeah, a lot of hospitals post their jobs on LinkedIn as well. And I'm a big advocate for LinkedIn. I got my student job from LinkedIn, so it's really good. But yeah, I think Seek is the best one. Or you can just type nursing agencies and you can sign up for an agency and they'll just show you jobs.
What's your best tip for an international student who wants to find a job in nursing in Australia?
So a bit of background is that when you're studying nursing, you, as a part of your semester, you do clinical placements, which is unpaid hours, but you work in a hospital for a certain amount of hours. And you can go in different hospitals, or you can get a fellowship program with one hospital where you do all your placements with them. So because you are getting exposed to so many clinical areas, ask them if they're looking for a nursing assistant or a student nurse role. You might be able to get a job once you're done there. It never hurts to ask. Ask them if they're looking for a job and collect references from those places, because when you're applying for a job, your references are not your teachers, are the people that you worked with. So a big tip is, when you're going on clinical rotations, get the number of the nurse that you've worked with 2-3 shifts, and it wouldn't harm in sending her a message. This is me. This is how I look like. Because they meet so many nursing students. I know my friends, they've sent a picture of themselves with a mask on to remind those nurses what they look like and have them be their references. So you really need job references. And if you're like applying for the first time, you don't have job references, get those people to be your references. And then my other tip would be, if your university or your TAFE or your institution has fellowship programs for nurses, which is where you do all your placements with one hospital, sign up for that, because my fellowship has really helped me. Because during the pandemic, when a lot of hospitals weren't taking students in, there was a delay in clinical placements. And because without those placements, you can't get the degree, a lot of people who were doing both diploma and bachelor's, they had to delay their bachelor's because their diploma wasn't finished on time. But fortunately, because I was a part of a fellowship program, my placements were done on time. And I was the only one of two students to graduate from my class on time. Yeah, so if your university, I don't know about other states in Australia, but Victoria, a lot of universities and TAFE, they do fellowship programs. You'll be able to get a job, because I did placements for 4 years at this hospital. I'm working at this hospital and I have got a job next year at the same hospital. So I know it sounds like one sort of one-off experience. In that job security and really, you know, setting your foot in the door, it's really good.
It sounds like you're saying make great use of your placements.
Exactly. Make great use of placements, build connections, and ask for a job. Don't be hesitant. Just be like, can I work for you? Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say this, because they don't know you're looking for a job unless you tell them you are.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think is your favorite and least favorite parts of being a nurse?
I think the favorite part is getting to see people go home with their family after they've spent a long amount of time, and they get to go home and they really appreciate the technological advances in medical science, but they also appreciate the nurses who looked after them. I think my favorite thing is people, and the least favorite thing are people as well. Sometimes they're not, where there are people who are really appreciative, there are people who are quite rude and overlook the hard work that you do, very entitled, and the people who make you want to go away. But yeah, unfortunately, there are people who are not very appreciative. So sometimes I've also encountered people who have said mean things to me and have been physically aggressive. They're in a vulnerable position when they come to a hospital, but again, doesn't give them a right to be that way. But yeah, I think my best and the least favorite thing would be people.
What do you think is the biggest thing you've learned from being a nurse?
Oh, I think patience is that. And also, I think working in ED has really made me prepared to be alert and really think fast, because things can change so quickly that you have to be really alert and act fast, but also make sure that you're keeping yourself safe and people around you safe as well. So there's a lot of things And I think it has also made me really good at multitasking. It surprises me at times how many things I can remember when I'm at work. I'm like, I would usually have three patients and I'll be like, okay, I have to do this for them and I'll do this, but I can't remember my schedule. I have to look in my Google Calendar. What do I have next tomorrow if I have a meeting for the day? It amazes me that when I'm at work, I can remember so many things without writing it. And when I'm outside of work, I'm like, oh, what am I doing? So I think it has really made me a good multitasker and have patience and also remember that I'm only human. There's only so much I can do. I need to be a little forgiving to myself as well.
Makes sense. For people who listen to this and they want to learn, oh, how do I become a nurse? What's the application process like for nursing jobs?
Once you start, you'll get used to it. So basically, all they want is your resume and a cover letter, usually. And they would ask you some questions depending on this job that you're applying to. And then they would invite you for an interview. Depending on the role that you're applying to, they'll ask you questions. Their often questions would be like, have you worked in a similar setting before? Do you have experience? And they often give you clinical scenarios and they see how you answer that scenarios. And all those questions about team building and being proactive that I think every job interview would ask, those kind of things. But I don't think it might come off as a hassle when you start applying and you have to apply for 100 jobs when you're sitting down, but you get used to it. And once you have that cover letter ready, all you have to do is make sure that cover letter aligns with the goals and missions of the hospital or the agency that you're applying to. And yeah, you can just, all you have to do is start with one place and you'll just be fine from there.
What do you think was the hardest part of applying?
I think it was easy for me to get a job as a student because also during that time, new job roles were coming up because of the COVID. It was a little bit difficult for me to find a job as a qualified enrolled nurse because I didn't have any experience. And everywhere that I wanted to apply required experience. And I couldn't do a graduate year, which is the year of work experience that you do with a hospital, because I couldn't work full time and study as an international student. I couldn't work full time. So I couldn't do that graduate year. And every hospital, every place that I wanted to apply required that graduate year experience. And I kept on telling them, how am I meant to have experience if you won't give me a job? I have to start somewhere. So that was a struggle before I landed the job that I do right now. And it just happened overnight. I worked there as a student first, even though I was qualified, I worked there as a student first to really prove them that I can handle the fast-paced emergency experience. And then eventually, after a year, I got my role. So it was tricky because everywhere international students see that they always require experience, but how are we meant to have experience if we are entry-level graduates? So that was a struggle, and I know a lot of students end up pursuing some working in a different field. I know my friends worked in a different field, even though they were qualified enrolled nurses, just because they couldn't work full time as nurses. So they had to choose a different kind of jobs while they study because they couldn't work full time as a graduate enrolled nurse to gain that experience. And nobody was ready to give a part-time job or a casual job just to someone who was freshly qualified. They were like, no, we can't hire you because you don't have experience. But in order to gain that experience, you had to work full-time, but you can't because you're an international student. So that was like a loophole that everyone was stuck in. Because people who are doing diploma, who are doing bachelor's after the diploma, because you're studying full-time, you can't work full-time. That's the, as on student visa, you can't work full-time. So that's the condition. So while you're studying, you can't work full-time. So you can't do a graduate role, which is like a standard requirement, experience requirement for most of the places. So that was a bit tricky.
And so the issue that you were facing was that you had a diploma at the time and you had your qualifications, but you were applying for all these nursing jobs and they required the graduate experience.
I know graduate sounds a bit high level, but they were enrolled nursing jobs. I wasn't applying for a job higher up to my skill, but because I didn't have any work experience, they weren't ready to give me a job. Yeah.
So domestic students who apply to enrolled nursing jobs, would they face a similar situation? Like,
no, so they can do a graduate year because they are allowed to work full time because they don't have any work restriction upon them. So they can work full time and study full time and they gain that experience. They only have to do a year of graduate in nursing role and they have that experience on their resume and then they can work wherever they want to. But when I was applying for jobs, they were like, where is your experience? And I was like, I can't work full time, so I don't have experience. So that was the tricky bit.
Were there any like tricky interview questions you were asked?
I don't think so. I think all of them were pretty standard as expected. They were like, why do you want to work with us? Why do you think you'll be a good fit? And very specific clinical questions as well. It really depends on the person. I would say just brush up your basic clinical knowledge before you sit in an interview. Yeah.
Were there any questions that made you, that you had to think a bit before answering?
I think the clinical questions, because you want to make sure that you remain in the scope of your job that you're applying to. And you also know how to escalate in a situation where you don't know what to do. They don't expect you to know everything, but they expect you to know what to do in the case you don't know what to do. So what will you do if you don't know how to handle this situation? So that, you know, those kind of questions as well. So you really have to think and make sure that you're in conveying the message that you'll be safe and the patient will be safe. Yeah, those kind of questions. Yeah.
So it's like other entry level jobs, then like they want to make sure you know what to do when to reach out for help when you need it and when you need it.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you tell us what is your like team setup like? What kinds of roles do you interact with on a daily basis?
Oh, a lot, like from surgeons to doctors, speech pathology, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, anyone who's involved in patient care, some, not every day, but eventually, if we're talking about in a hospital, it's like patient-centered care. So every healthcare member is involved and they work collaboratively to make sure we reach those patient goals. You talk to different people, make sure dietitians and all of those people involved in a patient's life, you work with them together.
Okay. And since you work in the emergency department, does this mean you interact with even more kinds of roles? Because it really depends on what the issue that brought the patient into the hospital for.
Surprisingly, no, because I think in emergency, people are just there and we investigate why they're there. And once we find out what the problem is, if they're well enough, they go home. If they're not, they go for surgery or they go to specialty caring areas. So we only are there to make sure they're well enough to go to that specialty areas. And once they're in the wards or once they're back home, that's where the further care comes in. So I've realized during my clinical placements is that when I go to different areas, I've realized that maybe like in the cardiac ward, people meet different kind of nurses, interact with different kind of specialty areas and different kind of healthcare workers. If you're in ED, we don't see as much because usually the doctor would be like, okay, I've involved that kind of specialist and they'll come and see the patient, but they usually come and see the patient in the ward. So we, surprisingly, no, we don't interact with them as much as other specialty areas interact.
Is there anything you found surprising after becoming a nurse or after working in the field?
How much clinical responsibilities they actually have. It's not just about following the doctor's orders. It's also about you making sure that, like I said, nurses spend 24, nursing is 24/7. Even during the night when there's no other healthcare worker, nurses are there to look after patients. You really, the how much clinical responsibilities that nurses have and how much closely you want to make sure you're competent to look after patients, because things can change and things change very quickly. And to know what to do, I have seen some amazing nurses who are so good to an extent where they tell the doctors what to do. I think this is the thing that we should be considering and things like that. And it just amazes me how confident, competent, knowledgeable nurses are. And that's not really more talked about, because they're more looked at, or they just work in a hospital and they look after patients, but they do so much more, and they have so many other responsibilities that are overlooked. So that's what I was like, oh, when I was a student, and currently when I'm doing my clinical placements, I am just amazed with the amount of knowledge and the confidence that the nurses have.
Can you tell us about your work-life balance?
At times, I think I figured it out, but there are times where I'm like, it's not working for me. I think it's really important that you have some sort of system. Whatever system works for you is good enough. We don't have to follow my words or someone else's words. I love to have my Google Calendar and I have everything in it, so I make sure I'm not overdoing it, because I have learned it, and I learned it in a hard way, is that you really need to put some time just for yourself, even if it's just you laying on the bed, scrolling on your phone, or like binge watching your favorite show on Netflix. It's also important that I'm also learning it a hard way, is that often at work, I'm doing the handover is when I'm finishing my shift, but the nurse next after me is going to look after my patients. So I hand over my patients to her. So at times there's the guilt where you're like, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that, but I was so busy. I have to remind myself that it is 24/7 for a reason. I can't do everything on my own. So it's really important to understand that. And I'm also learning this, but leave whatever you have felt at work, leave it at work. When you step out of the hospital, it should go away. That's what I've been taught, and people talk about this. I am learning, because there are times when if I'm having a bad shift, I take that with me until I've whinged about it to my friends and my partner. I won't stop talking about it, but it's important that we debrief. It's really important that you debrief with anyone that you want to. Get it out of your system and focus on the sleep. Get a good night's sleep.
Can I ask if you work like 8-hour shifts?
There are different kinds. So as currently at my work, I do 8-hour shifts. As for my clinical rotations, like last week, I finished my cardiac rotation and I did 12-hour shifts. And then in a couple of weeks, I'll be doing my theater rotation. So I'll be working 10-hour shifts. So it really varies. It could be 8, 10, 11, 12. It could be varied. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how stressful would you say your job is?
10. There are fun. The best thing about it is that where I work, it's team nursing. So you're not by yourself. You work as a team. Even if you're by yourself, there are people around you. And it's really important that the environment is good where you're working. It really makes a difference, because then even if you're stressed, you can just laugh about it and de-stress in your own ways. So yeah, it is stressful, but at times it's just fun. Yeah.
Got it. Got it. And are there, besides the team nursing, are there any other kinds of support systems in place, like wellness programs, mental health support?
Yeah. So usually most of the hospitals have employment assistance programs where if you require counseling services, they can. You can also always reach out to your manager if you think you're struggling at workplace, if you have any conflicts, or if you really need that mental health support, you can also reach out to your manager. Yeah.
Got it. Got it. So you mentioned your manager. So who manages you and how do they support and mentor you?
Oh, so usually every department would have a nurse unit manager, which is the nurse manager for that unit. So when I say my manager, it would be the nurse unit manager for the emergency department. And you can, my manager is pretty great. She usually is around, present around the ward, around the department. She's really good with weekly wrap-ups. So she sends us weekly emails and what has been happening at the department. And she always says, reach out to me if you want. And you can always, she's pretty great. Every time I had been wanting to chat with her, I can just email or I can just knock at her door and just pop my head in and be like, hey, can I, talk to you about this and that? But yeah, they're quite good and they're on the floor most of the times. Yeah.
Got it, got it. Is there any way to figure out if a hosp if your future nurse manager is going to be supportive like that? Like when you're applying for a company or considering different employers, how do you figure out if it's going to be a nice employer?
That is a great question. I actually don't know. If you know people that work in that area, you can ask them, and most of the time they will be genuine and they'll tell you exactly what they feel. No one's going to hide their true feelings. But I think sometimes you just have to dive in head first into the situation and see how you go. I have been lucky. I didn't have to ask anyone because when I joined my role, the managers changed. Both amazing, the previous one and the new one, both amazing. But I was able to talk to them before even I started my job because I was just working as an agency staff. So I used to go to that hospital. Yeah. But yeah, ask people. There surely is your friend, their friend, somebody's nursing friend who works in that area. So you'll be able to talk to them about it. Yeah.
Got it, got it. And a final question, which I know a lot of people wonder, is how much do these entry-level nursing roles pay in general? You don't have to specify your salary.
No, usually if you're applying for a nursing role, most of the hospitals follow that set pay guide that is set out by the government. Most of them will follow that. You can also question it. If you think you're getting paid less, you can take it up with the Australian Nursing and Midwifery Federation. They're pretty good because they are like the association that look after the nurses and the midwives. With the nursing agency, they have their own set of pay. But again, if you think you're getting paid less, please don't hesitate. They should be paying you above the base rate, whatever the base pay is in each state and in each country. But yeah, there is support. If you think, ask around people what they're getting paid, and usually you get paid based on your experience. But yeah, usually there is a set guide everywhere.